Hello and welcome. I'm Lori Hardy. Thanks for listening in as we continue to talk with leaders in our community. Joining me today is Jasmine Jean and Matthew Brower with Snuggle Buds, companion dolls and therapeutic medical toy sets for kids. And I'll start with that you are a cancer survivor, Jasmine.
I am.
And one of the things I think is really interesting as we've been talking is that back in the 80s when you were treated, the fathers that were involved and the things that happened versus today, what you're noticing.
What I was really excited about this time for our winter donation of Snugglebud's therapeutic packages was the amount of fathers reaching out to us to get companion dolls for their children, for their young sons. And we actually had more than 50% of our donations this time around went to little boys.
Interesting. And you said rather than call them dolls.
And they call them buds.
Buds.
I love it because the Snuggle Buds, you know, it's they're not a doll. They're more than a doll. And I think that that's what a lot of these fathers have said is this is not just a doll. This is a therapeutic companion for their sons to get through some difficult emotions, difficult times.
Well, when you...
That would not have happened in the 80s.
Right. Yeah. Is that what spurred you on and inspired you to do this?
Inspiration was a little bizarre. When I was young, I was diagnosed at 2.5 years old, and I had treatments. So this is in the early 80s, 82, almost 83. My mother made me a doll that had a Hickman line. It was a line that came out, and they could connect an IV to it. She gave me this doll, and I practiced with it. I'd give it shots. And also, I got a little crazy with my doll, giving it shots and giving it therapy, giving it cancer treatments. That's where it comes from. The idea came to me one night when I was in the hospital. Just recently, last year was actually Christmas Day. Last year, I was in the hospital, unfortunately. And I just had a moment where I looked at Matthew, and I always have ideas. So Matthew is always expecting ideas from me all the time anyway. But I had this idea, and I looked at him, and I said, "We're going to make dolls for kids with cancer." And he said, "Okay." Okay, that sounds interesting. Yeah, he thought maybe I was a little out of it. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Way to be supportive.
Yeah. But I'm sure at the moment that I said that, he was like, "And she's out of it because she's in the hospital."
Right.
But it became a real thing. And I think that when he saw me dedicate myself to it and that it grew over and over into a passion, and the more that I saw children interacting with these buds of theirs, the inspiration just grew and grew, and it became a passion instead of just an idea.
I can tell it's your passion.
It is a passion. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's purpose. It gave me great purpose.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting when you said you were in the hospital, unfortunately, on Christmas Eve, because so often it's those times of trauma or difficulty that some of the best things come.
Yeah.
And look what birthed out of that.
Yeah.
So that's so amazing.
Yeah.
One of the things that we talked about earlier was that in the 80s, the way you were treated is very different than today.
Yes. Oftentimes I get questions from parents who are wondering, you know, they say, "Wow, you're almost 40 years old and you're a childhood cancer survivor."
And she looks like she's 25.
Thanks. And, you know, I was diagnosed at the age of 2.5. So I was really a child, very young. When they see that I'm almost 40 and I've survived all of the things that I've survived, and, you know, I may have some illnesses still, they say, "Wow, that really gives me hope that my child might make it." And I think that one of the things that I get a little insecure about is also wanting to be very honest to parents in that, you know, I still have a lot of chronic illness. But the difference I feel is that in the 1980s, the very early 80s, we're talking the very beginning of the use of chemotherapy, and the radiation was not pinpointed. When they pinpointed radiation back there, back then, it was a quarter of my body instead of, you know, the pinpoint that they can now do.
Right.
Like where it's literal pinpoint, you know. So the treatments that they have now are so much better than what they had in the early 80s that I feel their children have the possibility of having very healthy lives in comparison to me having a lot of chronic illness and things related back to my cancer treatments.
I see. So they might even have better hope for not going to the hospital on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, right. And 38 years old. Exactly. Yeah. Because the late effects of the treatments back, they're doing a study, you know, St. Jude's has been doing a study for 30 some years. And they see that the late effects of these treatments from the children that went through chemo and radiation in the very early 80s is just so much more extreme than what they're seeing now. And I think that it's really important to remember that yes, I may still have a lot of chronic illness and spend time in the hospital, but that does not mean that their children will.
Yeah, and, good point.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, so when I do want to be honest, but I think it oftentimes could be a very scary thing for a parent to hear, oh, my child may live and that's exciting, but what if they have a chronic illness their whole life? And yeah. I think it's, you know, I think there's some amazing research out there that a lot of doctors are using to prevent the sort of long-term effects that I had growing up.
Well, I love it that you are so, you've been through this. You could be going, I'm done with this. And yet you're all immersed in it again.
Yeah, because I think the contrast of having an illness and then, you know, also being healthy, that contrast can give you a really good sense of life and living and feeling a fullness of life as well.
And you have such a happy countenance. You know, it would be easy to be like, oh, I'm sick again.
Yeah. I mean, I have those moments, but yeah.
Matthew probably gets those. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about these buds. Yes. I know when she came in the office, everybody was dying to see the dolls. And so the buds. So why don't you, number one, talk about the boy. You said there was an older boy that.
Yeah. I just love this. Yeah. One of our older patients, I won't use names. A 10-year-old boy received, and we thought, I don't know, because Matthew and I were speaking about it, and I thought, I don't know, he's, you know, 10 years old, is he going to think it's just a doll? I don't, you know, we had some doubts about it, but when we sent it to him, and he got his lab coat, and it said, Dr. such and such, you know, he won't say his name, Dr. such and such, and he's got his lab coat, he's got his real stethoscope, so he can hear heart of his parents. And
so the doctor's name is actually the child's name.
Yes,
so,
exactly. Okay. So the doctor's name will be the child's name, and they also sometimes they have their, maybe they're from pediatric oncology or something like this. But yeah, he calls it his bud, and I think it has been incredibly useful for him. It's been a therapeutic experience for him to be able to work on his bud, to give his bud some treatments and gives him a little bit more sense of control and power. So it was interesting because I thought 10 years old may be a little too old. I don't think it ended up not being too old. And because he sees it as his bud, his companion, his, you know, they do it together. They're in it together. So I think that's really great.
Which brings me to another story you were telling. I love this because Jasmine was saying that she has doubts, which we're looking at this going, how could you? But, you know, isn't that true with any entrepreneur or any startup is we have those doubts. And so what happened when you were having doubts?
I think every time I have a moment where I think, are these companion dolls doing anything? Are they helping? I don't know if they're helping. I end up inevitably, like, somebody will write to me and say, thank you so much. You know, before we had our snuggle bud, our daughter had to be held down to be accessed for her porticath, or, you know, which is a device that goes underneath your skin, and they have to put a needle in through the skin into your chest. And a lot of that's terrifying.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Yeah, it's terrifying for a 4-year-old, you know. So, but when I get an email like that, that says before she had her snuggle bud, we had to hold her down and the doctors wanted to use medication to sedate her and actually refused to treat her until we sedated her. She said, but now that she has her snuggle bud, it's literally night and day because she was able to play with her snuggle bud and feel the port underneath of the skin of the snuggle bud. The port is actually a baseball button, but we won't tell. And anyway, so yeah, I think once she had that experience of having her bud, she was able the very next time to go in with more confidence and I think excitement too to share with the doctors and the nurses what she had. Look at what I have, you know.
Right. And so she was part of it then.
And she was then part of it. Instead of it happening to her, she became a sort of an equal partner in that treatment, I think. And that was really, really special. So when I get into those moments where I have doubts and I'm wondering, oh, is this really helping? Or maybe there's not so many people that need help. Let me give you an example. One night we had three dolls left over from our fall donation, and we had one of the gals posted on her cancer group that we had these three dolls that we were going to give away. Well, instead of getting three requests, in less than 24 hours, we received, I would say, 30 more requests.
Oh.
Yeah. And so trying to meet that, I didn't realize. I didn't. I mean, we had been spending all of this time, you know, creating the dolls and creating the package with the toys and personalizing everything so that, you know, they have name tags with their pictures on it and things like this. We didn't really know, though, was there going to be a demand?
Yeah.
And in that moment, when I had three dolls left, and overnight, in 24 hours, we had requests from everywhere from Australia to South Africa, England, Mexico, Malta. We now have Snuggle Buds, what was it, on four continents?
Oh, my goodness.
We have Snuggle Buds on four continents.
And you can see that on our Facebook page, and you'll have a website up real soon.
Yes, our website's coming soon, with a lot more information on some of our kiddos and quotes and things from our kiddos and a lot of quotes from the parents and what it means to them.
Yeah. So two things I'm thinking about. One is, for those of us who aren't familiar with cancer, what is a bud? Isn't it like, didn't you say this was the bud?
Oh, no. Bud's just the doll.
It's just the doll.
Just
okay.
The doll.
So the port.
Okay.
So, is that where they're feeling, where they get the shot?
Yeah. So okay. A port-a-cath is a device, like I said, it goes under your skin, and it goes into an artery that flows directly to your heart.
Oh, okay.
So the doctor can, you know, use it to give medications.
Okay.
They can take blood. Oftentimes, chemo's really tough on the veins, so especially on little veins, you know. So for kiddos and things, it's tough on your veins. So a port-a-cath makes it a lot easier and a lot less damaging to your body to access through either a port-a-cath, or there's also another line called a Hickman line. And I learned this year, because I had a Hickman line when I was two and a half, three, I thought, I wonder how much they've changed, you know. And this year, we have experienced maybe five or six different children now that have had a Hickman lines. And they're different. This time now they have two lines that come out of their chest. They're like one's for blood and one's for, you know, their IV fluids and things like that.
Interesting.
So it's a dual, I think they're now calling it a power Hickman port.
Mm.
And that's a completely different line. Didn't exist back in the 80s. I just had my little Hickman line back then, just a single little line there. But yeah, so I'm still learning. It's amazing how much things have changed and how much I had to learn. And I will say that our best teachers are the kids and the parents. But I think the kids in particular are our number one teachers, for sure.
There's a new commercial where they're going to do therapy and a dog comes in the room. Have you seen that commercial?
No.
And the little girl's exclamation was so sweet. And that's what I think of when I think of these dolls. When they get them, they must be so overjoyed.
It's adorable. We've got video. They send us video.
Oh.
Yes, they said it's awesome. Sometimes they send us video and she's just like me. We're going to have to get them backpacks soon, though, because with these kids carry them around everywhere. I mean, they're like glue.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to have to get some of these kiddos, because some of them are, you know, 4 years old. They can't carry around this bud for all day.
You know?
So we're going to have to get them little backpacks so they can carry around their buds, because they make these backpacks where you can carry the doll outside of the backpack.
Oh.
So like you could stuff all of your goodies and treats and things in the inside of the backpack. And then on the outside, it's got a place for the bud to hang out on the back, and they can carry it with them. That's really cute.
We are talking to Jasmine and Matthew with Snuggle Buds. Jasmine, there was one particular child you were telling me about.
And that particular child was in DVIN too. He had to have a shot. I think it was upwards of 10 or 12 shots a day. He was receiving them from his mom at Ronald McDonald House. Before he would have his shots, his mom was allowing him to give shots to the Snuggle Bud previous to the his own shots. And it made it a lot easier on him.
Wow. Yeah. Like you said, it feels empowering.
It gives them power. It gives them... They're no longer alone because they have they have a companion. Yeah.
So what I'm really curious about is how do you do this? How do you afford this? I mean, I know you make the dolls and stuff, but what? How can people help you out with this?
Yeah, this was the very first year of doing this, and I think we did it right because we spent an entire year learning and talking with people, kind of figuring out creative fundraising and different things. It began with a very, very generous donation by one of my mother's cousins. That's actually where we got the original funding. And that was just for a few dolls because we just didn't know yet if it was something we could do. So we started out very, very, very small, and it's grown over this year. And I mean, we're seeing the need for it grow. But that was our first funding, was really, truly just from just an angel of a woman who really just thought, this is a great idea. I want to be able to help out. I can help out. Let me do this. And so that was our first. That was our entry point. And then Matthew kind of, after that, started taking over and helping with fundraising. We had another friend who put together a fundraiser, a GoFundMe. It wasn't GoFundMe. It was a fundraiser through Facebook. Yeah, it was a Facebook fundraiser. And so there's just been different forms of funding throughout the year. But we've definitely, this is an area that we need to grow in. Because I actually put a lot of my own money into it. But we can't do that forever. That's not sustainable. Right. So we definitely are looking for funding and creative funding as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like how many per year? What are you?
Yeah. That's a good point, though, because actually Matthew is more of the business side of things. I feel like I'm more of the heart side of things. I like to think of the storylines that go with the Snuggle Buds and things like that. I create more of that, and he's more of the financial aspect of it. Where I see this going, because I see the demand is huge, and like we said, we have, you know, four continents. I can't remember how many countries. Five or six countries and many, many states and local as well. So we have local dolls as well. So the need is so huge. So I feel like where we're at now is we have to find a manufacturer, and we need to move away from branded dolls because branded dolls are draining us. They are very, very expensive, and we can't afford and we can't sustain the project unless we take this next move to create our own specific doll. And, you know, there have been times we're learning a lot about, manufacturing and international trade. And I mean, we're learning things we did not know that we were going to need to learn. Because when you're in the hospital one night and you say, we're going to make dolls, we're going to make dolls for kids with cancer. Yeah. You're not thinking about, you know, manufacturing. You're not thinking about all of the different ways that you're going to need to supply the funding.
Exactly.
And, you know, I have the heart for it, but he's been brilliant in helping to utilize the money in ways that are responsible and get as many dolls out as we possibly can for as little money as we can.
So, and I'm looking at this doll. It's got, you know, an IV. It's got clothing. So there are, you know, there are extra things. Plus, you've got the medical kit. So if people want to donate, they can go to your website.
Yeah, they can go. Well, we don't have, our website's going to be up soon. They could go to our Facebook page. They can get a hold of us. We also have a GoFundMe still. We haven't closed it down yet.
Oh, good
to
know.
So we still have a GoFundMe that's available on our, if you look up Snuggle Buds for Kids on Facebook, you can find us. And so there's a GoFundMe on there. And also just, you know, getting a hold of us through email. My phone number is on the page. There's many ways to reach us. And then eventually we tried to get the website up last night, but it crashed. So anyway, but we're going to get the website up soon. And once we get the website up, we will hopefully have a way to sort of start that ball rolling for the donations.
So what would you say is the average price for one doll, one package?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's $170-ish. Yeah, with
shipping. $170?
Yeah. Or even less. Even less. Because I think, I feel it would be irresponsible for us to continue with branded dolls. That's where what I feel in my heart at $175 or whatever it costs per doll. Because we can only help, you know, a dozen kids at a time.
Right.
Or 20 kids at a time. And instead of, you know, I was doing the math the other day and I was like, you know, for I think it was 30 dolls, we could have almost 300 dolls.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if we manufactured our own, that's when it becomes sustainable. And that's when we become something more than just a grassroots project, you know, working out of our house. We really want, and where we see this going is we really want to help as many children as we possibly can. And, you know, with the internet, it makes it possible to serve children anywhere in the world.
I love that. Well, and I was thinking, wouldn't it be awesome if people would donate, like right now it's going to be a little more, but maybe in a year it'll be less, $170 and sponsor one doll.
Right.
Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, some people, maybe if you can give a dollar or two or 20, but, you know, if you could afford the $170, you get one kid gets a whole doll, the whole package.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. But also having with our website, hopefully having a more of a like a pay it forward sort of thing.
I love that.
You know what I mean? So people can kind of pay on a sliding scale. Mm-hmm. So we'll say, hey, OK, the dolls are, you know, costing us such and such money. You could pay that if that's all you could afford, or you can pay twice that and you can, you know, pay it forward to another kiddo. But we will always have donations, and I think we'll probably do it, you know, 3 to 4 times a year where we'll do major donations of dolls. But I think, you know, like Matthew's saying, having that aspect of having like sort of a sliding scale where families who can afford it, you know, put their money into it and then also, you know, pay it forward to somebody who can't afford it.
I love that.
Because a lot of parents actually, you know, they say, oh, how much do you want for it? We'll pay for anything, you know. And I say, no, it's a donation. Mm-hmm. And I never, you know, so we've never taken, you know, money directly for the dolls themselves. So we want to keep that donation aspect because it's so important to me that it is a donation. But if allowing those parents to pay also helps to pay it forward to other kids, I think we're getting to that point now where we want to allow that as well. But we definitely need help in learning about the manufacturing process. And
what about volunteers? Do you need volunteers?
Yeah. Yes. We need lots of folks who can sew.
Oh, okay.
People who can sew would be just wonderful.
So go to the Facebook page and reach out if you're willing to do some sewing. I mean, that's something easy you can do at home.
Yeah.
Well, we're almost out of time. I wish we had a whole hour. But what is there anything you feel like we've missed that you want to, so you could use donations, you could use volunteers. Good to know. Anything else?
Yeah,
because I think
really
seeing
nice.
Is, I mean, that changed everything here. People were like, what? They're so awesome.
Yeah.
You've really paid attention to detail. You've done a beautiful job.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the one with the unicorn and the,
Oh, well, just that each doll is, we modify them. We medically modify them to match each child. And I think that that's where the success is because it's not like, or just handing out dolls with porticast to every person. It's that we learn the medical modifications that they have. Maybe they have a feeding tube, or maybe they have another form of line, or maybe, you know, whatever they have. And so I think that it's really important to remember that we modify these dolls to match the child specifically. And we will always do that. That will always be a part of our process. Even if we have 300 dolls to work with, we will always make sure that the doll matches the child. In, you know, we have 3 different skin tones, we have multiple eye colors, we have multiple different modifications that we can do for these dolls, and we different styles of IV bags and different colors and everything, so that we can match it with those kids.
I love that. That's
really important, I think. And that's what makes them so special.
They are special. We've been talking to Jasmine Jean and Matthew Brower with Snuggle Buds. And you can find them on Facebook. They could really use donations with this. They could really use volunteers.
As far as volunteers also, I think we need volunteers who may have some experience as far as, you know, fundraising and things like this that may be able to help us put together community fundraiser. Mm-hmm. If you have a coffee shop that you would like to, you know, maybe host an event, or if you are a musician that you would like to help and donate part of your proceeds for a concert, or there's lots of different ways to get involved and to help financially as well. I think that it doesn't always have to just be coming from somebody's pocket. It could be creative.
So I love that.
That's what we really would like to do, is mm-hmm. have that. And anybody speak Mandarin? we need somebody who... We have such difficulties trying to find manufacturers.
Oh, yeah.
Because we don't, every single doll manufacturer is now in China.
So in order to help out and get in touch, go to Snuggle Buds, all one word, on Facebook. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Yeah, we'd love to thank you, Lori, for having us on your show. And it means a lot to us to be able to spend some time here with you. And it means a lot to us.
Thank you, Lori.
Yeah,
it's been wonderful.
You so
You're
much.
Welcome. You're welcome. I'm Lori Hardy. Thanks for listening today. We hope you've learned something new. I know I have. Join us again next week as we continue to talk with people that are making a difference in our community.